Hello and welcome to this WILL radio special, Illinois at the Oscars. I'm Jeff Bossert. The film Whiplash was made without the promise of wide-scale distribution. On Sunday, it could take home as many as 5 Academy Awards, and its producer, Helen Estabrook, grew up in Champaign-Urbana. She joins us by phone from her offices in California. Thanks so much for joining us, Helen, and congratulations on the Oscar nominations.
Thank you so much.
First, I'd like to talk about growing up in Champaign and attending Uni High. In your early years, did you plan on then going into film?
You know, I did, actually. I did a lot of theater as a kid and in high school, too. And I knew sort of theater or film is where I wanted to end up, ideally.
Growing up in this region, were there aspects of the Champaign-Urbana community or particular memories that had any influence in directing you toward that kind of career?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, I was saying to someone about this the other day, I think that the beauty of Champaign-Urbana is that you have this sort of safety of a smaller town with the culture of a bigger city. And I think that I was really lucky to be exposed to a lot of great things when I was young, both the plays that I was able to do, but also the plays I was able to see, and sort of seeing the various things that, you know, whether it's, you know, Krannert or Parkland or all of the different places, the Station Theater, that are doing cool and interesting things. And I felt very lucky to be exposed to that at a very early age.
So you attended Harvard and graduated with a degree in sociology. How does that translate into a career in film?
Well, I went to Harvard, first of all, because they don't have a theater program. And I wanted to be able to do theater, but I didn't want to major in it because I wanted to be able to study other things and make sure that I wasn't getting my focus too narrowed at an early age. So I was able to do a lot of theater there without actually having a degree in it, which was, I think, lucky for me.
And how soon did you figure out you wanted to be more behind the scenes rather than on the stage or in front of the camera?
You know, the thing is, my freshman year of college, when I had a friend who was directing a play who asked me to stage manage, and I had, you know, always thought that I wanted to be an actress just because that was what I was most exposed to, but realized after doing a play the fall of my freshman year that that was probably not where my strengths were and probably not what interested me as much. And so I stage managed a play and really fell in love with it there, and I think that it was the sort of being a part of every aspect of the production was what really excited me most.
Well, in your role as a film producer, you get more scripts sent to you than you can possibly produce. What made Whiplash stand out to you when you first received the script?
It was one of the best things that I've ever read, honestly. It is a very specific story, and it felt very familiar to me in a way that was sort of strange and funny because I've never quite had a mentor like Terrence Fletcher. But just the sort of themes and ideas that it was exploring, I felt very connected to. And it was just really well written. I think that, unfortunately, the majority of things that you read are just not well articulated in that way. And Damien is just an incredible talent, and it's very clear when you read anything of his.
When you say Damien, we're talking about Damien Chazelle, the director of the film. And what did you see in him that made you feel confident that he could helm this project?
When he was in college, he made a movie called Guy and Madeline on a park bench. And I actually just by coincidence, saw it at the Tribeca Film Festival in 2007. And I didn't quite know what to make of it then because it's this very strange and beautiful black and white tap dancing musical. But it was very clear just even from that this guy had a real eye and a real voice and was clearly a very talented director. And so when I got the script, I sort of had that information already that he was at least doing something very interesting and different. And then as soon as you talk to him, you just know he has such a clear articulation of his vision and what he's thinking of and what he sees that it becomes very easy to support because you know exactly what you're getting into.
So, you know, what do you typically look for in a film and how did Damien typify that?
I think that anything that feels unique, you know, I think that there are there's a lot of things that you feel have been done before in movies. And I think that, you know, there's still a lot of ideas to explore and there's sort of a lot of interesting ways to do it. And I think that Damien is a perfect example of that because he wrote a movie that could be on the page, a very sort of small drama, but he wanted to shoot it in a new and different way that felt like a thriller, that felt like a sports movie, that felt like all of these bigger things. And I think that that's the real trick. I tend to like stories that are sort of smaller, meaning I'm not as enamored by superhero movies just as far as things that I want to make. I definitely like watching them, but the things that I want to make tend to be a bit smaller, but you need something to elevate it. You need something to make it make it worth going to see in a theater. And I think that that's something that Damien is really good at doing, is sort of telling these very personal stories, but in a way that fills the screen.
Well, one thing that's different about Whiplash is the pre-production process. And you did a short film to convince financiers that it was a good idea to invest in a feature-length film.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we knew that he wanted to shoot it in a very specific way. And I think that that was why this one was particularly lent itself to something where we could shoot a scene of it and say, here, look, this is the look of the movie. This is what, you know, J.K. Simmons is going to be like. And then that way it was very clear and we were all sort of able to see the same thing.
And you shot it in 19 days, and which is really, really fast for those that are not familiar with this process. How did that happen?
The problem that you get is when you don't have a lot of money, budgets for films tend to translate into the number of days you get. So, you know, the more money, the more days. And for us, we unfortunately didn't have the money to shoot much longer than that. And so we had to really be very diligent about our prep work, and so that we knew on any given day exactly what we were doing going in. And towards the end, there were some very, very, very long days, but we were lucky with a very talented crew.
Well, I read that the preparation for the film involved a lot of storyboards that Damien had ready. I mean, when I think of storyboards, I think of movies with a lot of CGI, maybe Lord of the Rings or something. But this is a really elaborate process that was already done before the shooting began.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the most impressive things. He sent me, basically for the final sequence, he had storyboarded out every shot that he wanted based exactly on the song. So you knew at every note what you were looking at. And that was one of the most impressive things to see.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what pre-work was required to be ready the moment you got on set and to finish shooting so quickly?
Well, the biggest issue is we had to start with the dinner table scene. That was our first day of shooting, and normally you don't want to get into something that involves, because sitting around a dinner table, it looks deceptively easy, but that takes up the most time because you have to move the camera so much to get all the different angles. So they was planning out that and sort of knowing from day one we had to have everything overly planned, and then day two we did the car crash. So we really didn't have time to sort of ease into it in any way, and I think that having those two days as our first days be sort of so daunting, we knew we had to do everything we could beforehand.
What was the best part of having a 19-day production process?
The best part about it? I guess the sleep deprivation can only last so long.
And what was the worst?
The sleep deprivation.
Okay. So do you think your success with such a short shoot would encourage other filmmakers to do things the same way?
Not. I hope that people are able to get as much time as they possibly can for these things, but I do hope that it excites people to take more risks as far as the kinds of stories they want to tell and to figure out ways to do it, because I think that, you know, Damien had this script for a long time that was sent around to a lot of people who said no because they didn't see it on the page. My biggest hope from this is that it shows that there are new and different ways to get strange things made, that it's not just about sending your script and hearing no, but it's like, okay, if we're going to say no, then how do we get them to say yes, and what are the new and different ways we can do that?
But this is not certainly not the first time that a short film has helped produce a feature-length film.
Oh, absolutely not. No. They've done it for a ton of things, and I think we were really lucky in that we sort of had a very perfect scene to showcase, but I think also in general, it's very helpful for directors, any director starting out to do a short film, whether it's a part of their feature or not, just because I think that's the best way to sort of have a calling card and show people what you're capable of.
So for those who have not seen Whiplash, it focuses a lot on drumming and Miles Teller's actual skill as a drummer. So how much of this is him, you know, his actual skills, and how much of this involves a double or maybe, you know, fudging the music a little bit?
The majority of it is him. I mean, he's been drumming since he was 15, so he had to learn a slightly different way of holding the stick to do the traditional grip, which is different for jazz than it is for rock drumming. But obviously, there's some movie magic in there, but you'd be surprised at how much is really him.
And are a lot of these other supporting players, are they more musicians or actors?
For the most part, they're almost all musicians. The rival drummer, Nate Lang, who's his main rival, is a very accomplished drummer himself. And then almost all of the background people you see are real musicians, because we really wanted it to have an authentic feel and to be able to not look like we were faking it.
one of the other musicians in the scene is not in the scenes with the jazz band, but J.K. Simmons is playing piano in a club. Was that him actually playing?
Oh, yeah, that's him. I mean, J.K. has a degree in music. That was the beauty of all of this, too, is we got very lucky with actors who had the background. But, yeah, that's all J.K.
Well, let's talk about him, because if you read a lot of Oscar predictions, et cetera, a lot of people say he's a near lock for Best Supporting Actor. He's terrific in this role, but not the typical role that we know him for. So what made you decide to cast him?
Well, it's Jason Reitman who, as soon as I gave him the script to read, he said, oh, great, now we have the perfect role for J.K., which once you said that, it seems like such an obvious thing, but I think it wasn't obvious to all of us going into it. But I think J.K. is just he's a really incredible actor, and he's been doing this for years. And, you know, he was playing a horrible, evil Nazi on Oz at the same time that he was on Broadway with Guys and Dolls. So, you know, he's capable of doing all of these things almost nearly simultaneously. I think he's just such an amazing talent, and I was just so excited that he's getting the recognition that I think is well-deserved.
Well, I mean, we've seen him in roles like the dad in Juno and Farmers Insurance commercials, so might this kick some doors open for him? He's more than a character actor, maybe.
I certainly hope so, yeah. Yeah, it's been exciting.
There are some themes running throughout this movie about, you know, what does it mean to be great? And this character that Miles Teller plays is pushed so hard by this guy. Can you talk about the overrunning theme in this movie?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with what does it mean to be great? And I think a lot of it has to do with what does one give up? What does one sacrifice in one's life to pursue one's dreams? And I think that's sort of the big thing. I also think that there are obviously a lot of exploration of Fletcher's techniques and is it worth it to push someone that hard and does that actually help or does it hurt ultimately? And I think that there are a lot of different questions being asked in here, but for me it's sort of some of it is just sort of simply like what do you want to do with your life? How do you want to interact with the world and what is most important to you?
You're listed as a creative producer on this film, and what does that role entail?
Well, so it's a sort of funny way of articulating. So it's actually different for features and for TV. In features, if you have the title producer, that means you're sort of the one whose main person as far as putting it together. For TV, it's executive producer, the sort of top title, which is a funny little switch. But for me, I tend to be called a creative producer because it means I am involved in all sort of logistics and creative as far as from the beginning throughout the process. So creative producer mostly just means that it's to sort of distinguish between, for example, a line producer who is someone who really just runs production. For me, being a producer really just means shepherding the project all the way through and making sure that you're hopefully the one who's the voice for what's best for the film and trying to make it the best possible thing that it can be.
And how did you first meet Jason Reitman and come to work with him?
I started as his assistant, actually, many years ago. So my friend was working for his agent, and I interviewed. He had a different company. This was about over eight years ago. He had a different company then, and so I went and started working for them and then started reading and working on development, which just basically means I was helping them with working up scripts early on.
And how did you end up running the company?
The company before that had dissolved, and so about 6 years ago, we started Right of Way Films, and I was just brought over to do that.
You know, what was going through your head when you realized that you'd been nominated for an Oscar? I mean, is there any way to describe the exhilaration with that and that your film had four nominations on top of the Best Picture?
I have to be honest, it was completely surreal. It is still only sinking in, and I kept thinking for many days after that that someone was going to call me up and tell me they were just kidding. it is still very, very hard for me to believe. It's been a really fun time and a really fun process, but it was certainly a shock to say the least.
Are you able to come back to the Champagne very often?
Unfortunately, no. I come home every Christmas because that's when my family all gets together, and I try to get back at least one other time if I can, but unfortunately not nearly as much as I would like.
Well, I believe one of those times was you had a Q&A session after a screening of Whiplash when it was at the Art Co-op.
I did, which is so much fun. That was such a joy because, you know, I grew up on that theater, so being able to go back with a movie that I had made it was just something really special for me.
Any interesting questions come up for you there?
You know, I think it's a lot of, people were very thoughtful about it and sort of asking about both the process but also the product, and it was a real joy to talk to people about it.
I'm also interested in what kind of reaction to Whiplash you're getting.
You know, it's really running the gamut. I think that people have a lot of differing ideas on what the ending actually means, and that's one of the most fun things for me to hear, is people debate whether or not they think the ending is positive or negative, and whether it's triumphant or disturbing. So I think that we've been getting, but the exciting thing for me is we've just been getting a lot of sort of personal reactions where people feel very connected to the film in various ways. And you know, one of the greatest honors is when musicians come up to us and say that we got it right, which is nice. And but yeah, I think the sort of people finding anything that sort of personally connects to is always really exciting to me.
What does the ending mean to you personally?
I don't know. I didn't know the answer. That's why I wanted to ask the question.
What's the next project for you? What are you looking forward to next?
Well, I'm currently sitting in the production office of our TV show. We're doing 10 episodes of a TV show for Hulu, which we'll start shooting in about a month. So that's the next thing that we're actively in production on. And then I have a number of different scripts, mostly features, but another TV pilot too, but that we're getting ready, and we'll hopefully shoot at least one of those this fall.
Any chance you might come to Champaign to film?
I would love to. You know, my friend Daryl Wayne and Zoe Lister just shot their movie there and had the best time. So I was just talking to Daryl about it, and what he said, that he had such an amazing, incredible time being in Champaign for a few months. And it was really wonderful to hear him talk about it, because, you know, he's from New York and been an independent filmmaker and shot all over. And so hearing about shooting in my hometown was a real thrill.
I'm wondering, there's been a change at the helm of the Illinois Film Office. I don't know if you followed that at all, or just the credits that filmmakers can get to come into a city like Champaign or even Chicago to shoot, if you followed that at all.
You know, I haven't followed the latest with Illinois specifically, but anytime that there's any sort of tax credits, that's where everyone goes. And I think that the exciting thing is it's starting to open up all over the country. You know, obviously Atlanta has become a huge place for people to go shoot because of the tax credits there, and New Orleans has been for a while. And I'm just hoping that, you know, we can open it up more and more, because it would be a dream to go back to Illinois to shoot.
Well, Helen Estabrook, thanks so much for your time. And you said there's a TV project coming up. Any other leaks on what we might be seeing from you in the near future?
Well, we just shot a movie in the fall called Demolition by a director named Jean-Marc Vallée. So that was a script that a dear friend of mine wrote that we've been trying to get together for a really long time now. So we're in the editing process of that, and hopefully you'll see that next year.
All right. Well, hope to have you sometime in the studios on one of your limited visits back to Champaign-Urbana.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Helen. We'll be watching Sunday and rooting for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We need to take a break now, but up next we'll talk with Chicago Tribune court reporter Jason Meisner about a current copyright case involving Finding Vivian Mayer, a Chicago-based Best Documentary nominee. Stay with us.